Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into the world of creative therapy.
Oh, cool.
In the UK specifically.
Yeah.
Thanks to all the research and articles that you sent our way.
It's fascinating stuff.
Yeah, it's really interesting stuff. And it's not just like your typical
right.
talk therapy on the couch. This is using art, music, and movement to heal.
It's really taking off over there.
Yeah. But so let's buckle up and explore this exciting world of creative therapies.
What I find really captivating about this whole approach is that it's
it
really views healing holistically. It recognizes that the mind, body, and spirit are all interconnected. And that can be so powerful, especially for people who maybe don't connect with that traditional talk therapy.
Yeah, it's like giving you a whole new
exactly.
vocabulary to express yourself.
Right.
Right. And I was reading one of the articles, a study that came out of Oxford University.
Oh, wow.
And they were talking about how music therapy significantly reduced anxiety in patients going through chemotherapy.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So it's not just a feeling. There's actual
like, real data to back it up.
Absolutely. And it's not some new age fad either.
Right.
Your research actually traces the roots of expressive arts therapy back to the early 20th century with pioneers like Edith Kramer and Marion Liebman.
So it's got some serious history.
Yes.
Now let's break down some of these specific therapies.
Okay.
Let's start with art therapy.
All right.
What exactly does that entail? Is it just like splattering paint on a canvas?
I mean, it can be, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah.
Art therapy encompasses a wide range of techniques from drawing and painting to sculpting and even things like mandala creation and neurographic art.
Huh. Okay.
Your source material even points out how these methods tap into different parts of the brain.
Interesting.
Promoting emotional regulation and self-expression.
You know, I actually tried a pottery class a few months ago.
Oh, cool.
And I was struck by how calming and therapeutic it was just to work with the clay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there is something to this.
I think so. Using your hands to heal thing.
It's about engaging those different senses and modes of expression.
Yeah.
To process those emotions and experiences.
Okay, now on to music therapy.
Okay.
I'm curious, what's the role of actual musical skill in this?
Like, right.
Do you need to be a virtuoso to benefit, or can anyone benefit?
That is a great question. And from what your sources indicate, it's definitely more about that emotional connection.
Okay.
You know, music therapy involves a range of activities.
Okay.
Like listening to music, playing instruments, even songwriting.
Cool.
Tailored to the individual's needs and preferences.
So you don't have to be like Mozart or anything.
No, not at all.
Speaking of music, your research mentioned therapeutic drumming exercises.
Oh, yeah.
I have to admit, I chuckled a bit at that.
Really?
Do you just bang on a drum and poof, you feel better?
While it might sound simple on the surface, there's a lot more to it than that.
Okay.
Drumming can be incredibly effective for stress reduction and emotional processing.
Interesting.
It taps into something very primal and rhythmic within us.
Mm.
The sources actually gave examples like drumming circles and drumming meditation.
Oh, wow.
As specific techniques
okay.
used in therapy,
yeah,
both individually and in groups.
So it's not just random.
It's structured.
Banging, there's structure and intention.
Absolutely.
Okay, now shifting gears to movement therapy.
Okay.
Your research highlighted techniques like dance therapy, yoga, and Tai Chi.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like a pretty broad category.
It is quite broad.
So how does this tie into therapy? Is it just about physical well-being?
Well, physical well-being is certainly a factor.
Yeah.
It's really about that mind-body connection.
Okay.
You know, movement therapy uses physical activity to process emotions.
Okay.
Release tension and even gain a deeper understanding of oneself.
Mm-hmm.
Which really aligns with that whole idea of holism.
Right.
Recognizing that our physical state influences our mental and emotional states.
That makes sense. Like if you're feeling stressed or anxious, sometimes going for a run or doing some yoga can really clear your head.
And what's fascinating is that your research suggests that combining these different creative modalities, art, music, and movement can create an even more powerful therapeutic experience.
Like imagine painting while listening to music or even incorporating movement into the art creation process.
Right.
I can see how that could be.
Very powerful.
Really powerful.
Like opening up all these different channels for expression and healing.
Before we jump into that, I have one more question about the individual therapies.
Right.
Your research highlighted vocal expression techniques within music therapy,
Yes.
but it didn't really delve into the specifics.
Right.
Could you elaborate on those a bit?
Absolutely.
Like, what kind of techniques are we talking about?
So the research mentions vocal expression as being particularly beneficial for those who struggle with verbalizing their emotions. Okay, so it can involve things like singing, chanting, or even just using the voice to make sounds and explore different vocal tones and textures. There's even research supporting the use of vocal exercises for individuals with conditions like Parkinson's disease.
Oh, wow.
Showing improvement in speech and breath control.
I never would have thought about it that way.
Right.
That's fascinating.
It makes you realize just how multifaceted and impactful these therapies can be.
It really does.
There's always more to learn and explore.
I'm really excited to dive into the world of group therapy and individual practice now.
Let's do it.
Stay tuned as we uncover those aspects of creative therapy in just a bit.
Welcome back. Now that we've explored the power of art, music, and movement therapy individually, let's delve into how these approaches translate into both group settings and individual practice.
I have to admit, when I think about expressing myself creatively, my first instinct is to do it alone in my own space.
Right.
But your research really emphasizes the power of group dynamics in creative therapy. It seems a bit counterintuitive. Why would being in a group be beneficial?
Right.
Especially when you're dealing with, you know, sensitive issues.
Well, it's a common misconception that creative expression is solely an individual endeavor.
Okay.
Well, individual practice is certainly valuable.
Yeah.
There's a unique magic that happens when you create and heal alongside others.
What kind of magic are we talking about?
Okay, so think about it this way.
Okay.
When you're struggling with something, feeling isolated can really amplify those struggles.
Yeah.
But in a group setting, you witness others expressing themselves.
Right.
Perhaps even struggling with similar issues.
Okay.
And it creates this sense of validation and shared experience.
It's like that we're all in this together.
Exactly.
Healing.
That shared experience fosters a sense of community, trust, and safety.
Right.
Allowing individuals to open up and explore their creativity in ways they might not feel comfortable doing alone.
That makes a lot of sense. And the research highlighted specific examples like art therapy groups,
yes,
music therapy groups, and movement therapy groups, and how these can be adapted for different needs and age groups.
Right. It's very versatile.
Now, what about individual practice?
Okay.
I know I'm not the only one who wants to know how we can bring these benefits outside the therapist's office,
sure,
and into our own lives.
So the key is to create a dedicated space for yourself.
Okay.
A sanctuary where you can engage in creative activities without distractions.
Okay.
The research even suggests incorporating calming elements like plants, candles, or soft music.
Yeah, to enhance that sense of peace.
Exactly.
So it's like designating a corner of your home as a creative haven.
Exactly. And then it's about establishing those creative rituals that resonate with you.
What are some examples of these rituals?
It could be anything from journaling, drawing, or playing an instrument.
Okay.
To practicing yoga, meditation, or even spending time in nature, connecting with the natural world.
Yeah.
The point is to find activities that allow you to connect with yourself.
Right.
Express your emotions and tap into that creative energy.
It sounds like a wonderful way to unwind and recharge, especially in our fast-paced, often overwhelming world.
It is, and it doesn't have to be complicated.
Right.
Even setting aside 15 minutes each day for a creative activity can make a big difference.
Now, thinking practically, what about the tools and materials needed for all of this?
Right.
Is it all fancy art supplies and expensive instruments?
Not at all.
Okay.
The research actually emphasizes the simplicity of many of the tools used.
Okay.
For art therapy, it can be as basic as crayons, markers, or colored pencils.
So you don't need a whole artist studio to get started?
Nope.
That's a relief.
It's more about the process than the final product.
Right.
For music therapy, simple instruments like drums, shakers, or even your own voice can be incredibly powerful.
Mm.
The research even mentions sound tools like tuning forks and singing bowls being used in therapy.
I've heard those singing bowls can be incredibly relaxing.
They are very relaxing.
What about movement therapy? Any special equipment needed there?
Sometimes props like scarves or ribbons are incorporated.
Okay.
Or equipment like yoga mats or balance balls.
Right.
But often, your own body is the only tool you need.
This is all making me want to clear out a corner of my living room and get creative.
I love it.
But before I do, I have to ask, how do we know if any of this is actually working?
Okay.
How is progress measured in creative therapy?
Yeah.
It can't just be about feeling good in the moment, right?
You're absolutely right. It's not just about subjective feelings.
Okay.
The research emphasized the importance of measuring progress and therapeutic outcomes.
Okay.
To ensure the effectiveness of the treatments.
Okay.
Therapists use a combination of methods.
Yeah.
From client self-reporting to observer-rated assessments.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, even standardized tests to measure specific outcomes.
So there's a real science behind
Absolutely.
Tracking progress.
Yes, it's not just touchy-feely guesswork.
Yeah.
And this scientific approach is crucial for a couple of reasons.
Okay.
First, it helps ensure that clients are actually benefiting from a therapy.
Right.
And second, it helps therapists refine their techniques.
Okay.
And personalize their approaches to each individual.
This makes me think about how creative therapy needs to be adapted for different age groups.
Right.
What works for a child might not work for an adult.
Exactly. You wouldn't give finger paints to a group of senior citizens.
Right.
The research highlighted the importance of tailoring creative therapy approaches to specific needs.
Right.
Recognizing that different age groups require different approaches.
Can you give some examples of what this might look like in practice?
Absolutely. For children, playfulness is key.
Okay.
So therapists might use activities like finger painting, clay sculpting, singing simple songs, or playing with rhythm instruments.
Yeah.
It's about exploration, self-expression, and having fun.
And that makes sense.
As children grow, activities can become more complex. For teenagers, you might see songwriting, drama, or dance incorporated into their sessions.
And for adults and seniors?
It varies depending on the individual, but common approaches include journaling,
yep.
poetry writing, photography,
mm.
or mindfulness practices like meditation or guided imagery.
So it's about finding activities that are both meaningful and age-appropriate.
Precisely. The aim is always to help individuals tap into their creative potential,
right.
express themselves, and experience healing and growth.
Now, shifting our focus to the therapists themselves,
okay.
what kind of training do they need to do this work effectively? It seems like a very specialized field.
It is. Creative therapists come from diverse backgrounds.
Okay.
Some have degrees in psychology, others in art, music, or dance.
Right.
But regardless of their initial training, they all undergo specialized training in creative therapy techniques,
okay.
including certification programs and continuing education resources.
So it's not something you can just pick up overnight?
Definitely not. It requires a deep understanding of both the creative process and the therapeutic process,
right.
combining both art and science.
That makes sense. Now, let's be real for a moment.
Okay.
There must be some challenges that come with being a creative therapist.
Of course. The research acknowledged common challenges
yeah.
and offered potential solutions.
Okay.
One challenge is client resistance.
Okay.
Some individuals might be skeptical of creative therapies
yeah.
or hesitant to engage in activities that feel unfamiliar or uncomfortable.
I can see that. It's definitely stepping outside of your comfort zone for many people.
It is. That's where the therapist's skill and compassion come in.
Right.
It's about building trust, explaining the process, and creating a safe and supportive space.
The research also mentioned finding the right balance between structure and flexibility in therapy sessions.
Right. Some clients thrive in a structured environment with clear goals,
mm-hmm.
while others need more freedom to explore and experiment.
Right.
It's about being adaptable and responsive to individual needs.
That sounds like a real balancing act.
It can be.
For therapists.
But it's a rewarding one.
Now, I'm really curious to hear some real-life examples of how creative therapy is making a difference in the UK.
Okay.
Does your research offer any case studies or success stories?
It does. It highlights several inspiring examples of creative therapy in action,
okay.
demonstrating positive outcomes.
Well, before we dive into those, you mentioned vocal expression techniques earlier.
Yes.
But I'm curious about musical improvisation as well.
Sure.
Does your research touch upon that at all?
Yes, it does.
Okay, great.
Musical improvisation is highlighted as a powerful tool within music therapy.
Okay.
It allows individuals to express themselves freely
right.
without the constraints of structured music.
Right.
Fostering a sense of spontaneity and creativity.
Interesting.
Some of the research even suggests that musical improvisation can be particularly beneficial for individuals with autism.
Wow.
Helping them develop social skills and emotional regulation.
That's amazing. It really highlights how these seemingly simple creative acts can have mm-hmm. such profound effects.
Profound effects, it really does.
And individuals.
And those profound effects are exactly what we'll explore next as we delve into those inspiring case studies from British practitioners. Oh. Stay tuned as we uncover how creative therapy is transforming lives.
All right, let's hear about those success stories. I'm ready to be inspired.
Well, one case study that really struck me focused on an art therapist in London.
Okay.
Who uses a combination of painting, drawing, and sculpting to help children who've experienced trauma.
That must be incredibly challenging work.
It is.
For both the therapist and the children.
Absolutely. But this therapist reported some remarkable progress.
Okay.
Through the creative process, these children are able to express emotions, process their experiences, and begin to heal.
I imagine it gives them a sense of control, too. Like,
yeah,
they're regaining some of the power that was taken from them.
Exactly. It provides an outlet for them to communicate and process their trauma in a way that words often can't capture.
Wow.
Another case study highlighted a music therapist.
Okay.
Working with adults struggling with anxiety and depression.
I'm really intrigued by this one. How does music actually help with those conditions?
Well, the therapist uses a combination of techniques.
Okay.
Listening to music, playing instruments,
mm-hmm.
and even songwriting were all mentioned as part of the therapeutic process.
Okay.
And the results, according to the research, have been overwhelmingly positive.
Wow.
Clients reported feeling more relaxed, more hopeful, and more connected to themselves and others.
It's amazing to think that something as accessible as music can have such a profound impact.
I know, right?
On mental health.
It really is a testament to the power of creative expression.
Yeah.
And there's more. Your research also highlighted a successful group therapy program in the UK.
Okay.
Specifically, a movement therapy group for seniors with mobility issues.
Now, that's a population I wouldn't automatically think of for movement therapy.
Yeah.
What kind of movement therapy are we talking about?
It's a gentle form of dance therapy that incorporates elements of Tai Chi and yoga.
Okay.
Adapted to accommodate the participants' physical limitations.
Okay.
And the research indicates that the participants reported not only physical benefits.
Okay.
Like increased flexibility and strength, but also emotional and social benefits.
Like what? Can you give me some specifics?
Sure. The research mentioned a reduction in feelings of isolation.
Okay.
An increased sense of connection to their community and a renewed sense of joy.
Wow.
They even reported rediscovering a sense of playfulness and creativity that they thought they'd lost.
That's so heartwarming.
It is.
It really shows that it's never too late to tap into your creative energy, no matter what challenges you might be facing.
Absolutely. And that's a message that really resonates throughout all of these sources.
Yeah.
Creative therapy is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's about finding the right modalities, the right techniques, and the right environment for each individual.
It's like finding the right key to unlock your own unique healing process.
Precisely. And when that key is found, the results can be truly transformative.
Well, this deep dive has been incredibly eye-opening. I feel like I've gained a whole new appreciation for the power of creative expression and its potential to heal, empower, and bring joy.
Me too.
What about you?
I completely agree. It's been a fascinating exploration of a field that is clearly making a positive impact.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of creative therapy in the UK, we want to leave you, dear listener, with a final thought. What creative spark lies dormant within you? Is it the vibrancy of colors on a canvas, the pulsating rhythm of a drum, the graceful flow of movement, or perhaps something else entirely? We encourage you to embrace that creative energy, to explore those avenues that call to you. You never know where it might lead you, what hidden strengths you might discover, or what healing and joy you might find along the way.